For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, December the 25th, 1987. First service of the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. You may be seated. It's a privilege this evening to have Blanche Reynolds to minister tonight. Blanche, we have known for, almost 25 years, I guess. We've traveled around the country together, Full Gospel Businessmen's Conventions, had the privilege of staying in her home and visiting and having her to come and be with us from time to time, and the Lord is gloriously using her to minister the Word of the Lord, not only here in the States, but overseas, and it's just a joy to have her come this evening and to come to be with us this week to minister and to help minister in the deliverance services and in the ladies' meetings and then here in the main meetings as well. Blanche, we bless you this evening and thank the Lord for you being able to come and be with us.
Thank
the
you,
Lord
Brother
bless you. This
praise God. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we come to you tonight with grateful thanksgiving for all that you're doing in the body in this hour. And the joy of knowing that we are a part of your magnificent plan. And you've called us to rule and to reign with you. Father, tonight we open ourselves to receive your word. We ask you to write it upon our heart. We ask you to reveal the hidden mysteries and the secrets that we might comprehend the glory of your presence. So, Father, we bind every thought into captivity. We pull down everything that would set itself up against truth. We command our being to your attention, Lord. And we ask you to write your word indelibly upon our heart. And everybody said, Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, when I was here over Thanksgiving, Brother Cook taught us from the book of Ruth. And I want to share with you what the Lord said to me about what he taught. And the thought that I want to leave with you, you know how there are certain words that take on meaning to you from time to time as the Holy Spirit is showing you to you. Like reconciliation. When you got back to the basics and you realized that God had reconciled you unto Himself. The word of justification, that you could be just as if you had never sinned. And the Lord is saying things to me in this wise from time to time as I seek Him and long to know truth in my innermost being. And the word that I would share with you tonight is expanded. And another word that the Lord is saying to me is converge. And I see us like a people converging into the spirit world, a knowledge and a knowing of things that are so glorious and marvelous that the natural mind, with all of its intellect ability, could not perceive the things of God. That as the Holy Spirit reveals and unveils unto us revelations that have been hidden in mysteries in the ages that the prophets spoke of, but long to look into. And you and I, this end time company of sons, the ecclesia, the called out ones, I call us sometimes the foot company, because it took the feet to bring the body in. Like the last of it, we are ushering in this end time millennial glory of people are learning and knowing and understanding that there is a revelation word revealed unto him that has ears to hear and eyes to see, so much greater and more marvelous in its content. The word is being expanded to us, line upon line and precept upon precept. And what is making this seemingly possible, or a part of it, is the fact that deliverance has come to the body. When you get the junk out, you can begin to hear. You can see. You can understand. You can retain. See, that which would snatch away truth from you is not there to mar your understanding anymore. See, so deliverance is making more room in you for Jesus. We are being expanded. Hallelujah. We are full of the Holy Spirit, and we are being filled with the Holy Spirit. We are taking seriously every word, and we are hungering and thirsting for more. Hallelujah. See. So tonight I want us to look at the book of Ruth again. And I want to share with you, and you know, I prayed and I said to the Lord, now, many will have heard some of this before. And the Lord still urged me in my spirit man to share to you the revelation that was expanded to me. And I do this to be like a lesson or a learning experience to all of us. We sit in the awe and the greatness of many ministries that have just gold flowing from their mouth. Just so edifying is the word. And we tend to only keep that person's revelation alive within us. When the Holy Ghost wants to reveal to us and expand upon that word and enlarge our capacity until we are a living, breathing epistle read of all men. See, God wants us to know that He doesn't make any junk. See, He has made us to be contained in Him, full of life and all of the things that the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, would come and show to us, each in its rank and turn. See, all of us are maturing at different levels of understanding. We are growing up in the place that God has caused us to blossom forth. And just because some tomatoes get ripe in the garden first doesn't mean that they're not all tomatoes, see. Everybody is maturing or prospering in truth at different levels of understanding. And so what we glean from the beauty of God's Word as we come together in like-mindedness, what a privilege it is. I tell you, an honor that I can stand among you and share with you and see the rest of the body that are traveling, hallelujah, toward the glory of God in the transfiguration measure that is mind-boggling to the human understanding. But each of us are being transfigured from one degree of His glory to another. There is an illumination of spiritual things to the spiritual mind that is the teaching of the Holy Spirit, that as we are available unto Him, He comes and the Word becomes Rhema within our midst. I'm amazed at what Brother Glenn shared. Because some days, several months ago, the same scripture knit together, the same came to me. The Holy Spirit revealed. Another time I was teaching a scripture. I think it was Isaiah 9, where it says, "Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the Lord just enhanced and expanded that word of knowledge to me to know that the Son has been given. Hallelujah. I have received Him. And as His heir, all that is His is mine. And as my understanding just began to flow into that measure, I got so excited to know that God had chosen and handpicked this vessel that had been so full of junk and so bound up in the legalisms of religion and the things that plagued the human container. And out of all of that garbage, God saw a finished work. Trusting the bruise of His Son to break the curse of the bruise of my bloodline that would cause me to be wounded and afflicted and not well or whole in understanding because I saw Him from that place of my wound and not through His eyes where His wound had sprinkled perfect blood that took away my sin. Hallelujah. So God is showing each of us revelation. And it is His desire that we move on into Him. Like Brother Glenn said, and I so appreciated the word of the overlap. And I am seeing this. The Lord said, if I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then I am grooming kings in this hour. And I am grooming lords. And if this will be a priestly nation, then the priests are being made ready. And my Father has never come to a time in His preparation or carrying out His plan that it did not fit and was right on target and right on time. And so as we are converging in to the Spirit and understanding by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is saying things to us that are unraveling and tossing away the decay and the death understanding that we have viewed the Word in with times past. See, we've looked at life with the eyes of death rather than the eyes of resurrection. Now, so as the Lord showed me in the book of Ruth, if you would turn there with me, please. In the days of the judges, there was a famine in the land. And there was a certain man of Bethlehem, which means the house of bread, and Judah means joy. The Bethlehem of Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab. And Moab means of his father. Moab was the child that was born out of incest in the cave when Lot's two daughters decided that their character or their name would not be carried forth in their generation. And because of the approach and shame that they felt to their self or their selfishness, they got their father inebriated and they produced Moab and Ammon. And out of that incest, two mighty nations arose. And they were a people in Canaan, and a land that God had chosen to give to the children of Israel. And with all of the goodness and the blessings of God, there were enemies to be driven out. And like the message of deliverance, there are enemies, bloodline bondages, that are to be driven out to make us more understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus. And we have been given the authority, the power of His name. And in His name we command and we are delivered. Hallelujah. And so as this word unfolds, Moab was a country. And this man, Elimelech, and his wife Naomi, and his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they were Ephrathites. And they, from Bethlehem of Judah, And they went to the country of Moab and continued there. Now, the reason being, there was a famine in the land. The reason being that they were seeking nourishment or food or sustenance to continue life. Do you know that when your faith is not such that you can trust the Lord your God to be your provider, and you make compromise to go dwell in the enemy's camp because someone has said there is meat to eat there, food there. Beloved, it is not always going to do you good and provide the nutrition that you need to produce life. And so, the man's name was Elimelech and his wife's name was Naomi. And Naomi means my delight. Elimelech means death. Malion means invalid. And Chilion means pining. And so with the attitude or the nature of the name that they carried, these went unto this land of Moab. And Elimelech died. And his two sons died also. And they had taken unto themselves wives before they died, and one's name was Ruth, which means truth and beauty, and the other one's name was Orpah, or it means like a fawn or a baby deer. And we look at the character and the nature of the baby deer, and he's always right beside his mother and stays close until he becomes matured and is able to go out into the world himself. And so as the things begin to happen in their life, they arose and they went to the country of Moab, and they had stayed there now, and all of these things had happened, and they decided that they would go back to Bethlehem. And Naomi started back. And she said to her two daughters-in-law, "You return to your mother's house. And may God deal kindly with you as you have dwelt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant that you may find a home and rest, each in his house and her husband." And the brother who taught us gave me the clue when he said that Naomi was like a shadow and type of the Holy Spirit. And Ruth was like the shadow and type of us, the church. And Boaz was like the shadow and type of Jesus. And as I pondered on it, and I was so excited with the things that he had to say, and as I read and reread and looked again, I thought, yes. For it is like the Holy Spirit to see to us that we're at home and that there is rest in our the place of our dwelling. And she said, and she kissed them, and they wept aloud. And they said to her, "No, we'll return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that may become husbands for you?" And so as it continues on, Orpah went back to her people, like the fawn, like the nature, the character of her name, so was she. And Ruth hugged her mother-in-law and clung to her. And she said, "Urge me not to leave you or to return from following you, for where you go, I will go." And I saw the office of the Holy Spirit, and I saw the church coming together in such a beautiful communion of understanding. She said, "Where you lodge, I'll lodge, and your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. And where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. And the Lord do to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." What a covenant that the church would make with the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. And this Moabitish girl, who had come out of a nation who had an attitude of incest for a birthright, but a covenant cut just the same between Naomi and Ruth. And so they came to Bethlehem, which is the house of bread. And when they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred about them and said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said, "Call me not Naomi, but call me Myra," or bitter, "for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" And so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, and from the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. And my brother said again a beautiful nugget to my spirit. And he said that the barley was the first fruits, or the ripening harvest. That the barley and the wheat grew together, but it was the barley that ripened first. And I saw again a beautiful word of a first fruit company. A time of ingathering, when all of the sheaves are cut down and brought to the threshing floor. And so Naomi had a kinsman near her husband. He was a man of wealth. He was the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor. And Naomi said to her, "Go, my daughter." And it's just like the church. To go into the place of the grain to find the sustaining life, understanding, a word that will keep. And so Ruth went and she gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to stop at the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. And Boaz means strength. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, strength out of the house of bread, and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." And Boaz said to his servant who was with the reapers, "Whose maiden is this?" And the servant said over the reapers, answered, "It is the Moabitish girl who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." And she said, "I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So that she came and has continued from early morning until now, except when she rested a while in the house. And when the church comes to that place where the word is being taught, where she is in the midst of the growing place, where she gives herself unto the gleaning time in the fields of the Lord's harvest, and God brings truth unto him who seeks and inquires of him, until that rested time is a time when you can truly rest, because you know that it's well with your soul. And Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen, my daughter, don't go and glean in another field, or leave this one, but stay close to my maidens and watch which field they reap and follow them." And when we begin to learn and grow up in God, and He begins to teach us, and we see the strength of the Word of Jesus. Hallelujah. And He says, watch, see, follow. There is an attitude of responsibility connected with the Word of God that does not allow you to be frivolous or foolhardy or careless with what the Lord is doing in your life, you see. God is speaking to you and I in this day of discipline, obedience, that will bring us to the place where we watch what's going on and we follow after truth and we command our being. See, like the field where the Word is being taught, see, to come out from among the opinions of man and the denominations that lead to kingdoms that men set up unto themselves. But, beloved, I tell you, there's a people like Ruth, truth and beauty, who will not settle for anything less than the grain, the truth of the full Word of Almighty God in the planting of the Lord. Hallelujah. See, we've come out to come in. We've come too far to go back. We're converging into a spiritual walk, a spiritual understanding, where we are as at home and as comfortable in spiritual understanding as we are in the tangible realm of sense and feeling, where we know the way and we sense, we feel the things of this natural order. Beloved, there is a day, and yea, it is now here, when the children of God, the sons of God, will stand in obedience with the attitude of deliverance, and know that the Word of the Spirit is nigh us, even in our mouth. And we will speak such truth, such edifying words, that truly we will snatch out the little ones from the fire and break the chains of the yoke of the bondage of bloodlines that have caused the disasters of death. And literally we'll see the graves open up and no epitaph unto that man's name, when man realizes that he's received a new name at Calvary, and that name is Jesus. And when that name is in your mouth, every dominion and principality and power has to bow. And beloved, I see a people stepping over the grave, hallelujah, out of the grave and over all that has been made ready for them, converging into a spiritual walk where the love of Jesus will flow so continually and completely through us, so empowered with wisdom and knowledge from Him, the Lord our God, our source, so understood that it would not occur to us to ask for anything in a selfish vein. For we know that what comes to us, the Lord our God has allowed it. And what He has allowed is to do us good. And the lesson of life is there to be learned. And in learning it, glory to God, we will move on from one degree of His glory to another. Hallelujah. And each of us, like a compelling, I had the sense of the homing pigeon knowing where he came from. Hallelujah. I see each of us converging into a spiritual life, a spiritual understanding, where the intellect of man, the humanness of humanism, has no power and authority, where the selfishness of a sodomish nature and attitude of man not needing anyone but himself to make his pleasure and his will. I see a people knowing that you can't handle the Word of God with death understanding. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't handle the Word of God with bloodline bondages that make you miss the goal of the prize of the high calling. See, it is time to let the Comforter come. Whew, hallelujah. And show you to you. See, let Him come and reveal unto you everything that is there that needs to be barashumlika, kicked out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And let it come. Hallelujah. In such a way, there's no shame and embarrassment. You see, how can we bring the body in? You know, the Lord said this to me. How can you go to town if you don't know where town is? I mean, that's the best way to put it. And you understand what it's saying. See, how can we bring the people in when we are not moving in that direction ourselves? See, if you're not going on with God, beloved, you're backing up. That's right. If there's not a joy and a wonder and excitement in you of the things of God, then examine where you are. You're in a lesson, hallelujah, that's to do you good. And pull down the stronghold. And be as one who has been stripped naked before the Lord. And oh God, don't let there be anything in me that you'll have to test. And the more that we learn obediency, the less we have to be put in the furnace of affliction. That's right. Hallelujah, see. The more we understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And as we pull them down, wherever they are, see, we're all uniquely different. What might be bothering you would maybe never touch my spirit man of intellect. I was raised in two orphanages, and I was born during the Depression, and my parents divorced, and I was in a Jewish orphanage part of the time, and then I was in a Baptist orphanage part of the time, and if you think that's not a world apart, it is, hallelujah. And in all of that, you know, when there's 40 other kids in the dormitory needing mama, it doesn't do you any good to cry. And many a night, the pillow was the only guy that knew my tears, see. And time again, the enemy wrote rejection, rejection, rejection into my spirit until I was such a mess. I was so starved for love and affection and need. I was jealous. I was fearful. I was afraid of the dark big time. I was so terrified if I'd had a flat tire at the graveyard, I wouldn't have stopped. I'd have went right on because I thought there was something there that could get me. And it was real. And when you're an adult, that's a shame that you have to act in that manner. But you see, God knew all that junk. And He knew all the tears and everything that I went through. But He also knew the blood of His Son, the perfect blood. And He knew what it would do. And He knew that when I came in contact with it, hallelujah, there'd be a change. And He knew that when that change took place, that old things would pass away and all things would become new. And line upon line and precept upon precept, His Word would have a home in my heart. And I would begin to learn to intercede and travail and seek Him for more and more and more and more to stop anywhere less. Than in the seat of the throne, beloved, is to miss God. That's right. You can kundreshoma hile rasikora metre bungle kasi andre berasio andre kisatre basukora masatale maka. For I have spread my table before you, saith the Lord, and I've called you to come and to dine with me and to eat in my presence and to know me, saith the Lord. And what I have prepared, what I have set before you is to do you good. And when I call you to dine, I call you to know the plenteousness of my word of truth to you to establish my foundation in the midst of you so that you will never fail in every test. I do not set you up to fail, but to graduate, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we watch which field they reap, and we follow them. And He said, have I not charged the young men not to molest you? Beloved, there are people in the church in this hour who are being molested by ministries who are literally dishonoring the Word of God to them. It is playing upon the selfishness of their intellect and calling them to a place where they are surely ready for great judgment. I had a place that I went to in Tennessee some time ago. And some people came into the group there on one occasion. I went there rather frequently. And after 1 month, those two people had literally hypnotized the rest of that group into their deception. They threw away their Bibles, threw them out the window of their car. They said, "We're God now, and God doesn't read after himself. They don't sing because they say he doesn't sing to himself." They are so messed up and so torn up and so deceived at this point that they are in a place of great, great fear. I fear for their very life. I fear for their life. This one lady, I was back there in the early part of November in that same vicinity and saw some of the people who had pulled away because they recognized the error. And they said now they are saying that Jesus is the Antichrist. You see, they threw their Bible away. They don't have anything to check the truth. They're not praying and seeking God. They're seeking themselves and what they can arrive at in the fascination and the fantasy of their own revelation. See, beloved, we are living in perilous times where great things are happening that are destroying people's lives unto death because the truth has not been taught by the church. And so it says that he charged the young men not to possess her, molest her. And he said, "And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." In other words, go where the water has been purified or made ready, accessible unto you. See, there are some things that have been served up as anointing, that's the symbol of water, that are putrefying, lying demonic forces that will leave you in fear and idolatry and in a place of death. And you got to be careful who you let lay hands on you. That's right. Everybody going around that wants to bless you doesn't have the power to bless you because they are in that place of contamination because they don't know where town is. In other words, they don't know where the true spirit is. Hallelujah, you see. And then she fell on her face and bowing to the ground, she said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should notice me when I'm a foreigner?" And Boaz said, "I've been made fully aware of all you've done." Oh, and I just see Jesus here. He knows everything that concerns us. How your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you've left your father and mother and the land of your birth, and you've come to a people unknown to you before. And he said, "The Lord recompense you for what you've done, and a full reward be given by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you've come to take refuge." And then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord. For you have comforted me and have spoken to the heart of your maidservant, though I am not as one of your maidservants." And as this growing time comes, after we've made that decision, and the Lord God of Israel, see, oh, the Lord God Almighty, the triune Godhead, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, the Father. Oh, let us come, Lord, and let our habitation be known in you, and let us understand your plan in the ages, and let us stand in the place where the full measure can be poured out to this earth, and let this earth contain it, because there is room for the glory of God within us, because we have done that which the Lord has spoken to us when we have commanded in his name and cast out those things of death that would have kept us from containing his glory. Now, And so at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat the bread and dip your morsel in the sour wine, see, mixed with oil." And she sat beside the reapers. And there's a maturing taking place of ministry. When you're called to eat at the Master's table and dip your bread into the anointing, hallelujah, the blood, the wine, the cup, and he passed her the parched grain, that which had been made ready and ripened and palatable. When we can begin to take the word and eat it and be satisfied. And when it is prepared, the parched grain, prepared for your understanding to be made complete in it. And she ate until she was satisfied. And she left some for Naomi. And when we come to that prepared word and we begin to eat, we always have some left to ponder in the Holy Ghost with. She took them home to Naomi. And Naomi, like the Holy Spirit, who would need nourishment where they could commune together. Hallelujah. And when she got up to glean, Boaz ordered his young men to let her glean even among the sheaves. See, the progressive work of his nature within. And he said, "Do not reproach her. And let some handfuls fall for her on purpose." See, and we're still talking about the first fruits of the harvest. "And let them lie there for her to glean. And do not rebuke her." And when the Lord calls us to ministry and He sends us out and we take up the word that He has put in our mouth and we do the thing that is necessary, like Ruth gleaning the handfuls of the barley harvest, when God can send us out and trust His word in our mouth, not to be a mixture of the flesh, but to be the full, blooming, blossoming, ripened, a glorious word that will bring healing and restoration to Him He has sent us to minister to. And so she gleaned in the field until evening. And I see us at this evening time. And I see the Holy Ghost, like at the beginning when He brooded over the face of the deep, when darkness was separated from the light, and when God said, spoke, and it was so. And I see again the darkness is coming over this earth. Beloved, America is ripe for judgment. And it's like the evening. And like Glenn said a few minutes ago, there's an overlapping as God is closing His day to usher in His millennial. Things more awesome and more wonderful than this land of ours could ever dream. Things in the kingdom of the Lord our God, in the ages to come, in the revelations of glory that He is prepared to unveil to a vast company, a remnant people, overcomers, conquerors, heirs of salvation, a many-membered body who have come out from among them to be a separate, a peculiar people. Like the union, the vow of the marriage, we have come unto Him and we are one in Him, and in Him we shall abide. And so she gleaned in the field until evening, and at that time when darkness would brood over our nation, she beat out what she had gleaned. Beloved, she put pressure on the barley. There's pressure being put on the barley in this hour. You and I are in a pressure experience. And it hurts.
And it's hard and grievous at times, but it's to do you good. It's bringing you out to bring you in. It's causing you to stand and depend on the Lord your God and not on the things that you can do yourself or what you have accomplished or what you have acquired, but what the Lord your God would put in your hand so that there would never a man fail Him in this end time glory. A church, hallelujah, who recognize what it is to have pressure put on what's been gleaned. And it was about an ephah, and that's a full measure. And beloved, we're going to stand there a full measure. And there's coming a day when you won't see where I quit and you begin, and where you begin and I quit, because there's going to be a people so engrafted, so in tune, so brashukurama, so restored, so repaired, prepared, so made ready, so such overcomers, so perfected. Perfected means maturity. So mature that the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us will reveal unto us the glorious plan of revelation that John the Revelator had only a glimpse of. We will see Him in His magnificence and splendor that the language is so inadequate to express. And so, she took up her ephah out of the field, and the pressure was on, and the measure was exacted. I'm remembering a horseman that rode. His name was Death. And he had a scale in his hand. And he cried, "A full measure of wheat for a denarius, or a whole day's wages. And 3 quarts of barley for a whole day's wages." And then he said, "Don't harm the oil and the wine." See, don't harm the 2 witnesses, see. The oil, the symbol of the anointing, and the wine, the symbol of the blood. For He has come, and He has poured out, and He has made ready for the pale horse to ride. And the pale horse is riding. That pale horse was made so, as if made so by bruising. And now in this hour the church is understanding this mystery of iniquity, that Jesus' blood was bruised for, so that our bruised blood would not matter. He was bruised so that we could walk in freedom, deliverance from the lawlessness and the rebellion of the generations past. And each of us who have been born in iniquity, who have walked according to the generation of the lawlessness, of the curses of our forefathers, and we have been bound in areas of our life and we have not understood it. But He, the Lord, is expanding His Word to our understanding in the Spirit so that we can know what He has spoken in this end time, what He is revealing to this company of sons who will stand and proclaim His glory and do exploits in His name, because there is nothing in them that has to be tested. And the Lord your God is seeking such a people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And in that hour, we shall know in whom we have believed. And our eye will be on Him. And there will be no priest who worships Him with his back to the altar, looking unto the congregation for his well-being, rather than to the covenant of blood promise. Hallelujah, the sprinkled blood on the altar of covenant. And so the Lord is talking to a people who are ready to listen, who at last, like David, our ears been dug, because there is no interference of satanic forces to snatch away the Word, to keep us from the revealed revelation. Now, and so the pressure's on the barley, the first fruit company. And out of that pressure is coming a threshing floor experience that you and I, this Zion company, whoo, hallelujah, the winnowing fan is in his hand, and I see Jesus, the King of Mount Zion, and he's putting pressure on his first fruit company. And that ripened grain will be the full measure of his intent from glory to glory. Hallelujah. And so we know how things continued. I want to get on now because I know that it is getting late. And Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, told her when she saw what she had gleaned for her to go to the threshing floor. And she said, "Ruth, my daughter, shall I not seek rest or a home for you that you may prosper?" See, when you and I begin to walk in that in the Word to the point that we retain what we are hearing and applying it, see, in every realm of our understanding, the Word is in full effect until we are ripe for maturing and the disappearing of death. Hallelujah. See, no more will we view the content of His Word with a death understanding, but we will know it from the standpoint of the fullness of life and speak life into the things that concern us. To, in other words, to expect God to meet your need and to heal and repair and restore and make whole the things that concern you. And so she said, "Shall I not seek rest?" Now, I want to tell you how to spell rest. You spell rest, W-I-S-D-O-M. See, when you know something, there's no trouble in it. See? When you know something, you can rest. It's like the guys when I fly, you know, and I'm always glad when they assign my seat. Because if I know where my seat's going to be, nobody's going to push and shove me around, and I'm not going to get back there next to the smoking section or be over, you know, where the bumps on the tail, you know, fans back and forth. And so, you know, I see us like this so many times. When we are understanding, we can rest in what the Lord is saying. See, that's kingdom principle of understanding, rightness, righteousness. It's many-sided to our complement, hallelujah. And as He pours it to us, as we understand what He is saying, we can walk it out. We are not afraid of what the enemy can do. We are expecting God to get glory out of everything that concerns us. We rebuke the devourer from our door. Hallelujah. In fact, we get so righteously, so much righteous indignation. I say, "How dare you come to my door and speak in this manner? How dare you think that you could take a part of my mind and cause me to have a bad dream?" Some months ago, this happened to me. I woke up and something was literally choking the life out of me. And I turned the light on, and all that old fear that I got rid of years ago was trying to come back because this was a real life and death situation. And then when I got the light on, I thought, "Wait a minute. You know, how dare Satan come in here when I'm trying to rest and put a dream in my head that would cause me to fear and be so fearful it would wake me from a sound sleep and cause me to turn the light on because I was afraid of the dark for a second." And I thought, "You get out of here and don't you dare try to do this to me again." And he hasn't. You see, and you know, I want to tell you this. Years ago, Irma told me this. And I used to try to fast. And I'd get the sick headache every time. I mean, I'd get so sick I'd throw up Well, you know what it'd do if you go eat something, it'd quit. Well, I'd go eat something. Well, you know, I wouldn't get much fasting done. And I'd read that 58th chapter of Isaiah, and I'd cry, and I'd carry on. And I was at a convention, and I first thing when I got there, I tried to get everything I could done so I could hit the table where Irma was, because I knew she'd always have something to share with me that was special from the Lord. And she said, "Why, Blanche, don't you know that that's your flesh crying out to be fed?" And I thought, "Yeah, it really is." And she said, "Don't you know that every time you give in to it, it's the boss in your life?" And I thought, "That's right." And so I got home. I called a fast. I asked the Lord to anoint me for it. And the headache came, and I said, "Mm-mm, I'm not having you." And to my amazement, it left. And I never have trouble in that way anymore. It just wouldn't dare. See? How do you spell rest? W-I-S-D-O-M. See? God is showing us. See? We must understand what the Word is saying. Let it have its home in our heart so that it is ripe to the appearing to feed the flock. See, we've all been so busy getting the junk out of us. Do you know that there's coming a day very soon when you will all be deliverers and we'll go forth delivering the body, hallelujah, in such great masses that the devils will tremble and the principalities will quake, because at last the children of God have come into an understanding of R-E-S-T-W-I-S-D-O-M, their portion of the promises of God, the Word of life, so full within them that the enemy wouldn't dare try to put his finger on anything there to disturb their peace, because there just isn't anything there, because you have honestly dealt with it. And as we are delivered and being delivered continually, continuing as He shows us to us, until that day when the world's going to be looking for you, but they won't find you. You're in it, but you're not of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's a whole prophecy that the Lord gave me the other day, and I want to share it with you before the week is out. But let's get back to Naomi. And so, Naomi said, "You wash and anoint yourself, and you put on your best clothes, and you go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known unto the man until he has finished eating and drinking. And when he lies down, notice the place where he lies, and then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he'll tell you what to do." And I can just see us here. Boy, we got just enough knowledge of God to be dangerous. And we've gleaned and beat out just enough wheat, and we've had a few good solid meals, and we're ready to go get the rest of it done. Lord, just, you know, if I need you, you just stand. If I need you, I'll call on you. No, that attitude of self-ability that we think we've arrived, see. And I can just see it, you know, got my best clothes on. I'm going to preach. Hallelujah. And washed. Oh, I'm ready. I'm clean. I'm ready to get down to the threshing floor. What's happening at the threshing floor? Man, there's a separating process going on where the chaff and the wheat that grew up together can no longer stay the same place together. And hallelujah, there's a great wind coming. It's a fanning experience. And there's junk going everywhere. Hallelujah, because it can't stay there. Only the perfect grain, only the whole kernel, that which is ready, can remain. And we observe. Oh, Lord God, I want to tell you that, you know, I used to think I was ready to go and preach. I dream about it at night. Oh, I preach some of the best sermons in my bed. And I was thinking, "Lord, send me out, send me out, send me out. Let somebody call me." And I even tried to make some things happen. Shame on me, you know. But I didn't know any better. And He didn't fuss on me about my zeal. And so I realized one day, that I really wasn't as ready as I thought I was. And then as he began to get me ready, see, had to go through some backside of the desert, had to wrench some things from my hand that I thought I couldn't live without. In fact, I had to lose it all to find it. And in losing it all, the foundation could be laid, see. They took my house, they took my cars. My husband left me. I just had to walk out the word. Didn't occur to me to quit. I just kept going. And every time I learned how to pray. I learned how to pray and not get up when I had 6 goose pimples and 12 hairs standing up. I learned how to pray when God was there and I felt Him and I heard His voice and He spoke to me and I understood what He was saying. Hallelujah. And the problem didn't go, but buddy, did I walk through it. Whew, hallelujah. Giants in the land. But the Lord has made ready His purpose. And let me tell you, when you're ready to go out and preach the gospel, there's not a devil in hell that can stand before you. There's not a mouth that can be put against you that'll cause you to be backing up. The Lord will send you out and He'll show you what you need to know. And He'll speak it into your thought and pattern. It's amazing to me sometimes how the Lord teaches me. And then sometimes, I question. I have the Bible on tape and I play it as I travel. And I listen and listen and listen. And sometimes I scratch my head for 10 miles wondering what that meant. And I turn it off and then I pray and cry out to the Lord. And then I listen again. And the light comes. And the revealed Word is revealed. See? And the more Blanche gets out of God's way, the more He can show us truth. Glory, hallelujah. So, He said, Ruth said, all that you say to me, I'll do it. Hallelujah, see. And we make that commitment, consecration. And then we uncover the feet. Beloved, when you got a glimpse of the feet, without the feet, the priest couldn't have walked into the holiest place. The feet are necessary. And I liken you and I to that foot company in this hour. We're bringing the body in. Generations have come and gone, each with its revelation for its day. And every part of it needed for this glorious body to be revealed. But in this hour, this Omega hour, this finished work people, this last word people, a foot company is ushering in a priest who is ready to do service before the altar, the Ark of the Covenant. A priest who has been fitly joined together. Because the Word spoke, and it was so. A foot company that is ready to walk it out. And that's what's happening. The pale horse is riding. The bruised blood is being revealed. And the death throe that is bound and covered and wounded that we have striven in, that has caused us to be beaten down, is being exposed. And wisdom is coming to a people who are standing as His anointed and proclaiming the everlasting gospel. And the Prince of Peace is illumined in the midst of this earth. You and I, this heaven life, so revealed, this spirit man, so walking in the spirit, this heaven man, so about the heavenlies, glorious, so called out in the Bahandiko to rest in the throne of God, for heaven is His throne, and the earth is His footstool. And beloved, we are going to rest in that place of His provision. And it's not because you and I are righteous, but it is because He is righteous. And He has made us in His image. And He has revealed unto us a pattern. And that revelation, pattern man-child, is coming forth. And the feet are being seen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the path is not obscured. And the kings shall stand in glory. Ora jembaresio. Expanded word. Converging into the Spirit. An overlapping of grace and millennial. Time factors. Can you imagine what is going on in the heavenlies in this hour as God moves into position His glorious Word in this end time to sum up the ages? Can you imagine the trembling of the principalities and the powers as the Word is about again to reveal, hallelujah, what has been stored in the heavenlies into this dominion? Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. And where is it going? Pundrasya in you and me. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, Jesus. Be in us all that you want to be. I pull down the kingdoms and the principalities and the boundary lines that I set in my ignorance and weakness, and I command my being to your attention, O Lord. Let your word be revealed in me. And oh Lord God, let what I have been delivered from be filled, that area in me, with more of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth. How do you spell rest? It's W-I-S-D-O-M. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. And so, when Boaz had eaten and drank, and he had laid down, and Ruth came softly and uncovered his feet, and at midnight, the man was startled. Now, what happens at midnight? The very next second is when light begins. And this man was startled. This shadow and type of Jesus. It's happening. It's happening. They're getting ready. They're moving into that position. They have gleaned and they understand what it is at evening time to beat out the ephah, the full measure. Oh God, let the pressure be where it needs to be applied so that this end time company can stand in the image and pattern of Jesus Christ, the Word. And so, they spoke. I want to move on. 15th verse now. She had laid at his feet until morning, and had arose before anyone could recognize another. For he said, don't let it be known. And he had told her, you know, I'll go into the town and I'll meet your kinsmen and I'll call the leadership of the town together. And we'll do what is the custom to bring this household into obedience. And the bloodline can continue to be blessed with the name that it had been birthed with. And so he said to her, bring the mantle you are wearing and hold it. And so Ruth brought it. And he measured out 6 measures of barley and he laid it on her and she went into the town. And I want you to just hold that thought there for just a few moments. And we're going to turn here. And after, you know, they had married and she had conceived, Ruth had conceived, and she brought forth a son. And the Lord so beautifully spoke of 10 generations here in this last chapter. He went back 10 generations to describe a revelation of revealed word to us. And it says now, these are the descendants of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. And Hezron was of Ram. And Ram of Amminadab. And Amminadab of Nashon. And Nashon of Salmon. And Salmon of Boaz. And Boaz of Obed. And Obed of Jesse. And Jesse of David. The ancestors, all of them, of Jesus Christ. Perez means rent. So there was a tearing in the bloodline. Hezron means to surround. And they were surrounded by this tearing experience. I'm going to leave some of them for you to look up. Salmon means clothed. Obed means a servant. But if you count back four generations from David, there was Obed. And Obed was the son that came out of the loins of Boaz and the Moabitish woman Ruth, who had made a covenant that said, let the Lord God, your God, be my God. And where you die, I'll die. The covenant was cut, but the bloodline was yet to be dealt with. And here comes David, four generations later. And Moab, out of incest, the father, out of his father, the uncleanness of lust, rose up as David stood on his rooftop and saw Uriah's wife. And that which was in the flesh that was not dealt with was revealed in the act of the attitude of incest that had brought forth the lust of his eye, and he could not reckon with it and was not able to deal with himself and had to be judged by the Lord God Almighty. Then one of his sons raped his sister. And one of his other sons killed his brother. And the turmoil bringing forth every time that sin is not judged, that lawlessness, rebellion is not judged, I see it gaining momentum until the generation is born and there's no hands and feet and the retardation of the body is so grotesque and you wonder, how could this happen to these good people? And it's because of ignorance and knowledge of who we are in Christ Jesus, because we have not understood that the lawlessness and the rebellion that's visited to the third and the fourth generation is still intact. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the power of His name, we have been exempt from it. But beloved, if you don't possess it, it's not going to be a part and a quality of your life. But when you do, whew, hallelujah, let me tell you, our grandbabies are not going to have to go through with what we went through. When I dealt with that spirit of such hurt in me and rejection, I look at my little grandbabies and I smile and I laugh, because I know that they will not have to be shapen in the iniquity that bound me, because it's broken, because I've possessed my inheritance. I'm an heir of the kingdom. And what I don't know, I expect Him to reveal it to me. And every line and every jot and every tittle of His Word, I expect Him to tell it to me so that I can understand it and get on with the things that He has designed us to do. So now let's look again at the six measures of barley in the mantle. I drove the road on that one for a while. And the Lord began to speak to me. You see, when Jesus came, it all changed. What had been bound was now unveiled. And what did the mantle do to Ruth? It was her protection. It was her covering. It kept her from being seen. And I'm sure when she had that mantle on and she walked among all those Jewish daughters, she looked just like they did, because they couldn't see the nature of the Moabitess because it was covered up. And here Boaz, like the symbol of Jesus Christ, and Ruth, like the symbol of the church. And he said, take your mantle off and let me pour these 6 measures of barley in this first fruit. Glory to God. The word of truth, 6, the number of a man. Because in the fullness of time, God our Father was sending His Son who would pass through a veil, hallelujah, that would be rent from top to bottom and give you and I a representation in the presence of Almighty God where all truth can be revealed and we could know what He has covered with us, what He has covered us with has been revealed. He has torn that He might heal. He has bruised that He might repair the breach, so that you'll know that you're not beating the air, but you are the Son. Out of the womb of the morning. See, what is the womb of the morning? The womb is the place of conception. What is the morning? The beginning of life. See, at the beginning of your understanding, you're going to know even as you're known, from one degree of glory to another, a transfiguration, a pattern sun, an illumination process. And the world will be looking for you, and they'll not find you because they haven't seen Jesus yet. How do you expect they're going to see you who are His inheritance, His glory? Like the firstborn son has the glory of the father, we have the glory as heirs, as the firstborn. Jerash Shomelakaya. Sila, the Lord says. Pause and calmly think on that. We are His handiwork. I appreciate your time tonight. Hallelujah. And I close with this thought. Let us know the revealed word in its fullness. And when deliverance comes here, let us fill its vacancy with Jesus Christ, the Word. And let it be ripe unto the appearing to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You that we've got a whole week to sit in Your presence. I thank You for every person that You've brought here to this time. I thank You, Lord, that You're revealing every area of our life to us, so that we can be perfect, matured, even as You are perfect and matured. Hallelujah. I bless Your name, Lord. I praise Your name. Hallelujah. Glorious Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, such a time as this in the kingdom, when the Word is so precious. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. And now, Father, let the gifts of ministry flow. Let us be a many-membered body and minister, Lord, to each other. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There are many needs here, and I know nearly every one of you have made a covenant for this week, apart from the things of the world, to get alone with God and to grow farther, you know, more, to enhance your understanding in Him. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.